Welcome to Unabridged, the weekly podcast where teachers take on books. We're your hosts. I'm Sarah, and I'm here today with Jen and Ashley.
This is Ashley. We'll chat about our Unabridged Book Club's pick of the month, recommend related books, and share our nerdy English teacher love of reading with our Unabridged highlights and with short episodes featuring targeted topics.
To follow along with our schedule, visit our website, unabridgedpod.com, where the books we read are linked for purchase. You want opinions about books? We've got them.
This is Jen. Ashley and I are here at Bridgewater College in Bridgewater, Virginia today to talk to students about Isabel Quintero's Gabby, A Girl in Pieces. Ashley's husband, Mahan, is the professor of the class, and he was kind enough to let us come. They've finished reading the novel, which is I guess it's kind of epistolary. The main character, Gabby, keeps a journal. And so the book is composed of her journal entries over the course of, I think it's about a year, maybe it's the course of a school year, where she's reflecting on her life. It hits a ton of social issues. I don't want to list them all because some of them are a little spoilery, but I will say the students do get into the end of the novel. And yeah, it's a great young adult read that I think is really different from a lot of things we've read before. And as you'll hear in the discussion, a lot of the students hadn't read books before like this, particularly in a classroom setting. So we had a great conversation with the students. I will say the sound was a little challenging because of the big open space and some uncontrollable heating. So we hope you'll bear with our sound issues, but the conversation was really great.
My name is Mahan Ellison. I'm an associate professor of Spanish at Bridgewater College, and this year I've introduced the book Gabby, A Girl in Pieces by Isabel Quintero in my PhilO 150 first-year seminar course, which is an introduction to the liberal arts, and my course specifically is an introduction to liberal arts through Hispanic thought and contributions to American culture. And this was a new book this semester. It was an excellent choice. My students absolutely loved it. I traded out Anaya's Bless Me Ultima book, which was a hard book to cut, but I found that Isabel Quintero's voice was such a unique one and such a relatable one for my students that it was a worthwhile thing to include. My students loved it more than any book I've taught before. It provoked some really good conversations. And one of the things that we talk about a lot is it hits many very hot-button political issues, but in a very personal and relational way that takes the political sting out of it and shows the humanity or the human component of these issues. And I think the students really enjoyed and found that the most relatable part of it. They enjoyed reading it. They read ahead, which is unheard of in many of my classes. They participated in conversations and had some very insightful things to say as well. So I will definitely be reading it again with my students. And it has also encouraged me to look at other books in that line to maybe move away from some of the canonical classics of Chicano literature and include some more recent publications such as this work by Quintero.
Yeah, so let's just start. What did you think of Gabby, A Girl in Pieces? Just general impressions? What did you appreciate? Or if there were things you didn't appreciate, you can just share your general opinion before we dig in.
I mean, it was definitely different, for sure. It was not something that you would assume you would read in, like, a classroom setting. But it was definitely, I feel like it's one of those types of books that should be read in a classroom setting because those are things that we should talk about.
So what made it different? Did you just feel like the topics that were covered were different?
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't like a subtle read. It was more of like a what's going to happen next kind of read, and I think that was what made it interesting. Because it talks about so many like social issues, family issues, things that we all kind of face but never really talk about. So
going along with that, it was really easy to read it because it was like journal-based, and I feel like that made it more personal too. So we talked about social topics and things like that that you see on the news a lot of times, but the fact that it was personal for her, it was her family and her friends, made it easier to read and understand and talk about.
Gabby has a heart.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And when do you see her heart most? Like, which moments touched you most in the novel?
She's very, I think she's realistic about things, but she doesn't, she's not hateful, I don't think. I feel like she has her moments where she's angry and she shows that she's angry, but she's caring even to, like, the people that were, like, mean to her, like Georgina.
I think she has, like, a really big heart, considering what's going on with, like, her dad and everything, and I feel like she has to step up a little bit more than she would have to at that age, but she has a big heart to just deal with all the school drama, all the stuff going on, and then, like, with everything going on with her dad, I think she handled it real well.
I think going off of that, just touching base on her dad, because I feel like that's a big part of the book, it's one of those things that's, like I said earlier, like, family issues. And I feel like a lot of people face that, maybe not exactly that same situation, but I mean, we do face things when it comes to parents and stuff like that, and nobody really ever talks about it. So I feel like this book, by mentioning that and showing that, you know, this character in this book is going through something like that, like, I feel like it makes it for readers that are going through the same thing, be like, oh, okay, so this happens. Like, this isn't, like, just me. This is a problem that other people face too, so...
Yeah, I think you mentioned before that it has a lot of social issues in it that you feel like aren't always addressed in books. And oh, thank you. I was just thinking how I needed the names of people. Yeah, do you all want to elaborate? What are some of the issues that you felt like were covered, either that aren't normally covered in books or that you felt like were different, you know, they were handled differently in this book? What were some of the things?
I think that giving criminals a heart, like her dad, that was a big thing that touched me because... In my beliefs, I don't think that people in prison are necessarily bad people. Some of them have a great heart and love their children and love their family. But aside from that, I think that this book really covers a lot of the other social injustices.
So, like, a big topic was her best friend getting pregnant. And I feel like, in a way... Society kind of likes to hide that in the bushes, like, oh, it's such a bad thing. You don't like to address it other than saying that it's a bad thing, and nobody really wants to confront the, like, situation. And Gabby does. Gabby just talks about how hard it is for her to, how it feels to have a best friend that's pregnant, how it feels to have a best friend that's gay, how to have, like, a parent that's a drug addict. But she addresses it perfectly and doesn't sugarcoat, but at the same time, it's not harsh.
So, not just the social issues that were talked about, but I really enjoyed how it took it from a minority community perspective. I feel like that's not something that is usually, like, common when it comes to talking about these issues in novels. I feel like the fact that she used the Latino community as an example was just, like, wow, you know, because nobody ever really talks about the things that Latino communities face. So, I feel like, and, all the issues that were talked about, like, Latino communities do face that, and it's sad to think about, and they face them probably more than other people, you know, but it's, you know, I'm glad that she talked about it.
Yeah, I hadn't read the book for a few years, and so I was reviewing it for today, and I was just struck from page one by her voice and by the fact, you know, she's writing in her journal, so she is very frank, and she's writing for herself, so she's out there, but when she talks to people in her school, I feel like she's just as frank. Like, she said some things. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she just said that. But it's so refreshing to see someone who just it has a very clear idea of who she is and is willing to be direct with others. What are some of your favorite scenes from the book that just show who she is, what her character is, what she believes is important?
The German scene.
Yes, there's
the German
scene.
The one, where like, where she, like, confronts him.
Yeah. Yeah. She sits on him. She beats him up. And I hate that Cindy got mad at her about that. Like, I understand why, because that was Cindy's thing that she told her in confidence. But I feel like Gabby still handled it pretty well from a friend standpoint. Like, she could have gone to the police or something like that, or she could have told everyone about it, but instead she, like, confronted German. So...
Which doesn't usually happen, I feel like, in certain situations like that when it comes to sexual assault. Like, usually there isn't a confrontation because it's just so hard. And not a lot of people, like, have the guts to do that. And she, like, she did. And it wasn't even for her. It was for her friends. So I feel like that shows how strong she is as a person.
And And I thought it was interesting, too, because Gabby is very confident in who she is, but she does have some self-esteem issues. And then you see that Cindy, who she envies through a lot of the book, is also not as certain as I would think she would be, as Gabby would think she would be. So I thought that Cindy not being willing to confront German was, I thought that was a nice commentary as well.
Yeah. Were there other scenes that you thought were really powerful?
Well, no, back to that scene, it was pretty awesome, like, seeing her and having power, because a lot of times in books, especially, like, these type of books, and the man has all the power, whereas they're kind of controlling the woman. But in this one, I really enjoyed seeing her do her thing and really stick it to German. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My favorite scenes in the book were when Gabby stood up to her tia Bertha regarding her best friend being gay and her coming at him for that, and also when her tia Bertha was yelling at her for thinking about having sex and all that. And it just showed the growth that Gabby developed throughout the book, because in the beginning she didn't stand up for herself, she would just take it, and by the end of the book she was her own person, and you can see that.
I love when she wrote the poem about the guy who, like, ate her heart like a torta. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the funniest part of the book. I actually highlighted it because it was so funny. What did you all think about the poetry in the book? Like, what stood out to you? How is that? I think that's something that's kind of different than a lot of even novels that are written with a younger voice or, a more first-person perspective, you still don't get the poetry. So what did you think about that, and or were there ones that you really liked?
She was really able to capture her own emotions within those, and that's the true sign of a good poet, is being able to take your emotions and put them into a physical form on a piece of paper and then present it, which it actually didn't need to be presented. When I read it, you could just hear her voice coming through, which was really nice to see. I think there's one scene where she is up in front of a whole lot of people, and it's at a bar, and she just kills the poem about her father, and, like, the emotion that you can feel from it it elicited a lot of, like, just everything in my head in general. It was nice.
Yeah, she definitely, I feel like there's an evolution with her poems. Like, she definitely gets a more serious tone near the end because she's been through so much, so you kind of see this, like, cheery girl at the beginning, right? And then, like, it starts, like, all these things start to happen, like, things start to go down, and then she's, like, hit by it so greatly that she, like, actually shows that emotion in her writing, which I think is realistic because, you know, things aren't always happy and dandy.
So, we talked a little bit about her family, but it's interesting to see, I mean, just her relationship with her mom, her relationship with her brother. I mean, she has these distinct attitudes toward each of these people in her life, and I appreciated that they're complex, right? Her mom is not always this enemy that she's trying to fight. Sometimes she totally understands where she's coming from. So talk a little bit about that for Gabby. What does family do for her? How does she see them?
They have a very complicated relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, but then again, what family doesn't? Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, everybody has their issues, and I feel like her relationship with her parents specifically, like, kind of just, like, fluctuates constantly. But it's not necessarily always bad, and it's not always the best. Mm-hmm. So,
Gabby's really responsible and independent in a way, because when her brother's going through things, she's the one that's there for him. She's the one to hold his hand and get him through it, even though she's going through her own stuff.
Yeah, in the scene where he's arrested and her mother is yelling at Gabby for not keeping him out of trouble, I just thought that says a lot about the way this family operates. Did you feel that she was treated unfairly through parts of the book by her mom, or did you think, yeah, if that's the way the family works, that's fair?
I feel like she was in some parts, but I also feel like that's how it portrays how, like, families actually work. Like, whether parents want to admit it or not, they're always probably going to have a favorite child. And so I feel like that definitely showed the relationship she had with her mom. But also, I feel like it just showed how much her mom thought of her. Like, the fact that she was responsible and that she should have known better, or she should have been, like, watching out for her little brother, whether or not that she actually should have been. But
What was your reaction when Gabby found out that her mom was pregnant, that she and Cindy had these parallel pregnancies?
I think she really looked at, like, both of them and thought, what kind of parallel could it be? Because she could have been easily one of them. I do think that she sees it as kind of like a Robert Frost type thing, where there's two roads and she chose the one less traveled by in her life, exactly. Not in total, obviously. But I think she feels confident about it, but at the same time, she cares for both of them. So she really shows her true personalities through that.
So one of the frequent topics in the book, Gabby talks a lot about her weight. What was your reaction in those moments when she's talking about that component of who she is?
I feel like that was so relatable, especially at that age, because, I mean, no matter what, like, women always constantly, well, at least I feel like we constantly, like, find something wrong with ourselves, and I feel like that women do it more frequently than men. Not saying that men can't, but I feel like that's just something that women tend to do often, and I feel like her showing that she felt so self-conscious at times, and her being so worried about her weight, and her being so worried about her image, was very, very relatable. Because, I mean, it does happen, and at that age, like I said earlier, like, it happens a lot. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that was crazy.
I think overall, like, Gabby as a character, all the little things that she talks about, her insecurities and how she feels, and it's kind of things that most people like to sugarcoat and not talk about, and makes you kind of just realize that she's being vulnerable in the book, and it's so much easier to relate to her and feel bad and actually have feelings for the things that she goes through, mm-hmm. because she talks about things that, like, most of us have felt before, thought about before.
And to, like, build off that, like, this book, it doesn't paint this unrealistic picture of how life is and how your family goes and how relationships are. Like, it literally says the cut and dry things of how life goes. So I just really like that it does that.
I also think Kintaro used her weight as a way to show how much Gabby has grown. Because toward the end of the book, when she goes to the beach at senior week, like, she starts to feel bad about herself, but then she, like, talks herself up, and she ends up not really caring. So I feel like that's also something to show how she's grown more mature and, like, not really caring what other people think.
It's also just a societal problem in general, like, just the way that people can make other people feel about themselves is a little off for me. You should feel comfortable with your own body, which I'm not going to blame her for being insecure, because I'm insecure also. I'm not going to tell you that, but it's just, it's sad to see. Because it's other people making decisions for other people about how they should feel about themselves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what did y'all think about, what is it like to read this in a class?
It's different because of the language that's used, the topics that are covered, like sex. When we had class discussion about it, we were kind of, at first we were like, okay, we're talking about sex in the classroom, but I feel like if this book was read more in the classroom, it would become a normal thing and it wouldn't be looked at how it is in society, so.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be good for students in general to read the book, just because I think it shows very, like, it really does show in the book that Cindy was uninformed and that they don't get to talk about sex, that it's something taboo. And so sometimes that leads to consequences, and then there's not really much you can do about it. So I feel like this book is a good way to bring up the conversation and show, like, look, this is what happens when you don't know, so this is why we have to have the conversation.
I think that me personally, from high school, they really discussed a lot of this stuff within our books. We never really shied away from anything because it was a private school, so we didn't have to abide by any of the public school rules pertaining to books. I think I was definitely prepared for this book, but I wasn't prepared for how I would feel about it. So the way that it elicited emotion into me was really nice. Just the ability to relate with it was really cool.
Yeah, seriously, because you think about, like, all these things that were mentioned in this book, right? You have drugs, you have sex, you have abuse, you have rape, you have, like, all of these, like, super hard things to talk about. And you wouldn't necessarily think, like, you're going to read this for a class, but, I mean, we are. And then I feel like when I was reading it, I was just like, that's me, you know? Like, certain parts of the book, like, I've been through this, I've seen that, I've experienced that. So it's just, like, again, like, yes, the relevance of it. It was just insane to think about. And, like, going back to, like, the age group that the author chose, I think it was perfect mm-hmm. for talking about all the things that she talked about. Because I feel like as society, we especially in books, I feel like when it comes to talking about sex and drugs and all of these things, like, they tend to use, like, older age groups. Like, you know, like, we tend to think that that's, like, oh, 20-year-olds to 30-year-olds experience this. It's like, no, like, we can experience this at 16, 17 years old, too. So I like that she used seniors in high school because, I mean, it happens in high school, it happens in college, it happens all the time. So.
I also really liked that most of the characters were Latino. You don't necessarily see that in, like, I guess just in my opinion, from what I've seen, you don't really see that much representation of, like, Latinos in books or in, like, so, like, in social media or in movies or whatever it is, but it just feels so good to see that what, like, her cultural issues or whatever it is, like, what the stuff she goes through, we go through too, and, like, I'm not the only one that has a super strict mom that thinks I need to, like, take care of my brother all the time, so, yeah.
Definitely touches base on, I like the fact that pregnancy was talked about a lot, mm-hmm. given the fact that it was based in a Hispanic community. Not saying that it's everybody, but it, we do see that frequently. Like, teen moms are a thing. It just happens. Like, young moms, single moms, it just, it happens. You know, sometimes, like, our, I remember when my mom got pregnant with my little brother, I was like, no way. Like, you're old. But, like, that's just how we think of it. And it's just, I mean, those things happen, so.
Mm-hmm. Have you all heard, I'm not going to get the exact quotation, but that books should be both windows and mirrors. So you both want books that reflect who you are and your own culture and your own identity, and you want windows into other people's lives. So how, yeah, I mean, it sounds like that's what you all are saying, that for some of you this was a great mirror, and for some of you this was a great window. Would you agree with that, or did anybody have trouble connecting with it?
I think just because you can relate to the book, and then I feel like there's also people that don't relate mm-hmm. to the book. And even if you don't relate to it, I mean, like, read it anyway, because it's like, you can finally understand where certain people come from when you read stuff like this. Like, you could come from a great family home and you don't understand, you can't, don't realize that other people don't have that, and they have tougher times when it comes to school and, you know, when it comes to, like, making college decisions. Like, she's, that's one of the things that she faced too, and she had all of these personal problems that she kind of weighed in when it came to making her college decision, which I think happens very frequently, and some people don't understand that. So if you, like, read that, you're like, dang, like, this happens.
Also, with the window thing, I think we had a discussion in class as well about how we didn't realize how bad or how many issues that Tia Bertha or Georgina had that kind of reflected on how they acted throughout the book and why we were so disgusted with their characters at first. But once we realized all the things that they go through, like the stuff that Georgina was going through at home, it makes you realize from that window perspective that not everybody is mean just because they want to be mean.
Right.
They are going through stuff too, and they're human, and that reflects on how they act around people.
Yeah, what did you all think about? I thought that was an interesting choice for Quintero to put in Georgina's pregnancy. Like, what did y'all think about what happened? Like, what did you think about how she handled pregnancy? Because you all said that you liked that that was in there, and that's teenagers, and that's something they're facing. Like, what were some of the things you thought about how she helped handle that issue?
I feel like with the three major pregnancies that went down, Georgina's and Cindy's and her mom's, it was just, like, kind of a foil to show what pregnancy means in the world. So, like, you have a mom who already has kids who doesn't really need another kid, gets pregnant, decides to keep it and raise it, and that's really brave. I think that's great. And then you have a teen mom who gets pregnant, maybe she's raped, like Sydney was, and she decides to raise it too. And then you have Georgina, who, like, gets pregnant, wasn't planning on it, still a teen mom, and decides that she doesn't want to raise it because she can't bear what her parents will think of her. And so I feel like the fact that she had those three pregnancies in the story and that we were able to see, like, the window aspect, all of them and what they went through with that.
Yeah.
It was really important.
I feel like it definitely has this, like, women empowerment feeling to it, because, it's talked about even now. It's, like, all of these issues when it comes to people thinking that because a woman gets pregnant, like, it's wrong to not want it, or it's wrong to abort it, or, you know, abortion and adoption aren't an option. And she talks about that. I mean, she, like you said, she gives all these, like, different examples, and pregnancies and starting families doesn't necessarily go the same way for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like she did that in order to be like, hey, it's okay to make your decision when it comes to, you know, regarding your body.
So we talked a lot about Cindy, and we mentioned Sebastian, but I thought her friendships were such a wonderful part of the book, just because they were so kind to each other and so gracious, and it wasn't that they were perfect. Like, they said hurtful things to each other. I don't know how many times, like, something stung or there was something, but they knew that, and then they acted to kind of bring that friendship back together. What did you all think of just the place of friendship in Gabby's life?
I thought that was great. I thought it really portrayed friendship in high school, personally for me too, because I was told going into high school that high school was going to be great, and it sucked. So I ended up with, like, four friends by the end of the, like, four really good friends, and I ended up hating one of them, so three good friends, I guess. I think the fact that they had a really true and, like, good friendship, and that they could tell each other anything, and that even when crap went down and, like, someone offended someone else, that it was okay, because they always ended up liking each other.
Yeah, I mean, friends argue. Like, let's be real, it happens, but at the end of the day, those are the people that feel like family, even outside of, you know, your home, because family isn't necessarily, like, biological. Family is more who you care about and who you trust and who you spend your time with, and I feel like we all have those friends that we could definitely consider, like, a big part of our heart, and that's something that I feel like she shows in her book a lot.
I just feel like I can relate to her friendships, because, like, with my friends, I feel like I can lean on them when I don't have anybody else to talk to, like, in terms of family. So I just really enjoyed the friendships and, like, how she handled them.
And that was one cool thing, too, is, like, her friends were her family. Mm-hmm. So even when you don't have a family that you love, or a home that is warm, like, you have your friends.
Are there things that you all want to say about the book, or about the importance of having this kind of book in the classroom? I mean, any of that kind of stuff. Like, teachers listen to our podcast, and book lovers listen to our podcast. So, like, that's who is listening. So, you know, are there things that you want to share about reading and class experiences and how... I mean, I love what you said before, Tyler. Sorry. About how, like, you weren't prepared for, like, the emotional connection, but that you really got that. I mean, that's what I mean, as a teacher, that's what I want for students. I mean, at the end of the day, like... That's the most important thing to me, is, like, what enriches their life beyond what we do in the classroom and beyond, like, the activities, is, like, what matters is that it helps them feel more fulfilled in life, like, that, you know, or see things in a new way, or deepen or widen their understanding. So, like, is there anything you want to share about the book or about this kind of book that you have thought about?
I personally like the book because it truly shows how life is unexpected. Each character in the book has their own story and a reason for why they act how they do. Like Georgina, nobody knew what was going on in her home. And when that was exposed, it was kind of like you saw her in a different light. You looked at her and you didn't see this mean, bitchy girl. You saw somebody that really she needed help. Like she, it was her calling. And as far as Sebastian, he was going through everything that he was going through because he was coming out, but he didn't know how to come out to his family, so he got kicked out. So it's another, it was kind of like a train reaction events going on throughout the book, and I really like that.
Yeah. I think reading it in a classroom would be, it's just different. It'll help them or help students. For me, it helps me see the world differently. Especially as a teenager or whatever group of you know, young adults, you're going through so many things. These things are going through your head. You have so many questions about it. And to have a book in a classroom that you want to read because it's interesting and you can relate to it and it's talking to you. It's not like a story. She's talking to you. It sounds like she's your friend. And so I think that it really helps me just see the world differently and, I guess, be a better person.
Gabby as a character has it's done something that, for me personally, that I like to call the Holden Caulfield effect, because he was my first character that I really stuck with, and that's really stayed in my mind, and Gabby's kind of up there in the ranks of Hamlet and Pip from Great Expectations, and a lot of other characters that I really enjoyed, Percy Jackson from the Percy Jackson stories. Those characters really stick with me, and I think I'll be able to take them into adult life, which I really enjoyed about this book.
Cool. I definitely agree with having this kind of book in a classroom setting. Even if it, like, even a high school classroom setting, I feel like no matter what, like, this book is one of those books that, like we said earlier, like, touches base on so many things. And I feel like with all the events that have been going on in, like, modern day society, I feel like it's important to talk about these things. And we also have to think about, you know, teachers and educators should think about how some of these kids that they, you know, have in their classrooms, you don't know exactly what goes on in their everyday life, so you don't know if they're getting, you know, parental guidance or just anything like that when it comes to sex and when it comes to all of, you know, school, college, when it comes to all those things, so you don't necessarily know if they're getting the information that they should be getting, especially at an age like that, because that's when our mind is like, it's like a little sponge, you know, like we're absorbing like everything. So I feel like reading something like this in a classroom setting could be a little tough at first, because everybody's going to be, I mean, I feel like we were all kind of closed off about talking about it, but now we're here, and we're like openly talking about all of these things that are hard to talk about for some people, but I mean.
To the English department for any other schools in high schools, I recommend reading this freshman year and then senior year, because this could have a different effect on you that over time. Okay. Also, with Catcher in the Rye with Holden Caulfield, I read it in 7th grade, and then I read it again junior year, and that was probably one of the biggest differences between, it was like I was reading two different books. So
that's a great Gatsby thing, too.
Yes. That is
oh my gosh, me too. Okay.
That's a great Gatsby thing, for sure.
That is a huge
That one
will continue. Like, every year that I read that, I'm like, oh, that new thing.
You catch something new within that every single time.
You have new experiences as you get older.
I think, in a way, it's like, we're so used to, like, in high school, we're so used to reading books that have, like, a happy ending, or somehow, like, there's a hero involved. But in a way, this book kind of shows that Gabby is her own hero, and she, like, makes her own story throughout the book, kind of thing. Yeah. And to touch on Jay and Lens, what they talked about, I thought that definitely it should be read in a classroom, just because there's so many perspectives and opinions. And people in this, like, in our classroom right now, they come from different backgrounds, and it just, we build off of each other, and we kind of have this, like, this, like, focus, and everyone understands it, and everyone's on the same page, kind of thing, which is funny, because you're reading a book. but, yeah, I just thought that definitely we build off of each other, and we make it into an even better, like, result, I guess.
To Margarita's first point, to all writers.
I feel like I need to say to podcast listeners that every time he talks, he's leaning into the mic to make sure, and that's why everyone's laughing. Go ahead, to all writers.
The ending to books don't necessarily have to be happy. My favorite books are have ambiguity or have a closed, sad ending. Hamlet, everybody dies.
Spoiler alert.
This is a big spoiler, right? Anything that has ambiguity and a solid closing like that, it really sticks with you more, I think. Close.
Oh, also, for high school students, if an English teacher decides, or whatever teacher decides, to assign this book, Gabby doesn't think that she can get into Berkeley. And I think my junior and senior year applying to colleges, that was stressful. That was, oh my gosh, I wonder if anybody else feels this stressed. Like, do they think that they're good enough to get in? Everybody seems like they have it together. And clearly, like, we don't all have it together. We're not all doing great in algebra. Like, you know, Gabby's really not great at algebra. I'm not good at algebra, so I can relate with that. So I definitely think that that gives you a realistic point of view of what it looks like to apply to colleges. And then she gets in. And so it's the kind of thing where you're motivated to see that there's other people out there that aren't good at certain things. And just because you're not good at math doesn't mean you're not going to get into your dream college.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I really, really enjoyed the fact that it touched base on her
journey into, you know, like, going to college, because it's one of those things that I feel like the message for that, that the author was trying to get across was, no matter where you come from, you could come from the most, you know, you could come from a struggle, you could come from the most, you know, disorganized family, you can come from the most awful past and still make it out of there. Like, you have a choice. You have, you know, like, you have the power to get out of that situation. Like, I know it's not the same for everybody, but just speaking on a personal level, I wasn't happy with, like, certain things, and I was like, I didn't always think that I would go to college, and now I'm here, and that's just because I took that into my own hands, and I was like, I want to get away from this, and in order to do that, like, college is, it's an option, so that's what she chose to do, and she believed in herself, and I mean, she did it, so I feel like that's a message that she was trying to show, like, you can do that if you want to. I think we can just all agree it was a great book, and,
yeah.
You know, it's a good read, and it's worth it, so.
Yes, please read it. It's a must.
Read it.
To all listeners.
Do you have comments or opinions about what you heard today? We would love to hear them.
You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, on Instagram and Twitter at UnabridgedPod, or on the web at unabridgedpod.com, or on our Patreon page.
We'd like to thank Jared Featherstone, who composed our theme music, Strings of Light. Many thanks to Katie Amy of Amy Photography, our podcast photographer, and Tim Rieger, our videographer. Thanks for listening to Unabridged.